to pray for everybody that's in here. Thank you for coming out and be able to support me. But let the words that I speak tonight not be my words, but be your words. And they don't see me, but they see Christ. And may my words be edifying to all the hearts out here and the ears out here that's hearing. And we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise tonight, Lord. It's all in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So good evening, Grace Point. For y'all who don't know me, I'm Dante, and I've been attending Grace Point for about 6.5 years. And I tell you, getting me through those doors was a miracle. I'm telling you, it was a task and a half. It took a persistent wife, a lot of prayers, and some self-examination. The first few months coming to Grace Point, I can say that Pastor Wooten, every time he preached, he had a way of chipping at my heart, you know, chipping the callus off my heart. And before I knew it, 6 months in, I don't know if all y'all remember, but we used to have a connection bar out there. And they used to sign up people for the baptisms. And I'm not going to name drop, but one person, she was like, won't you sign up for baptism? I'm like, this Sunday is going to be my birthday. I mean, this Sunday coming up will be my birthday. And she was like, well, that'd be the best gift you can give to yourself. So I said, sign me up. And she knows who she is. But anyway, I signed up. I got baptized on my birthday. And I was born again, a new Christian, you know. And it's all through the grace of God. It's all through the grace of God. So in actuality, spiritually, I'm only 6 years old. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old thing hath passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm just going to run this to y'all real quick. After getting baptized, being honest, I didn't know what that would look like for me. Meaning my life as a Christian opposed to my worldly life that I was accustomed to. All I knew, I wanted the Lord to work on me. And I can truly say that's when my sanctification process started. You see, sanctification is a long life process. It's the way that Christians are progressively set apart for God as they are conformed to the image of Christ. So today's message, I'll be talking about being set apart. That's something that's been tugging at my heart for the last few months as I've been reading my scripture. I go through my Bible and I see certain scriptures that pop out at me talking about being set apart. Do anybody know what set apart means? Peculiar people. Well, for me, when I first heard it, I thought it was, you know, right versus wrong, good versus evil. And yeah, that's part of it. But until I really started studying what it really meant, in the Bible, set apart signifies being separated or dedicated for a specific purpose, especially for God's use in his relationship to his holiness. That's the key word, holiness. It often means being made distinct from the world and its ways, the world, and consecrated to God. Emphasizing God's own holiness, he calls his people to be holy as well. So with that being said, we are made in God's image, right? Therefore, my desires, our desires should be, our ultimate goal every day should be being a reflection of God. So I'm going to jump back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word kadosh, Q-A-D-O-S-H, is translated as being holy, meaning set apart or separate. So God chose Israel for his special possession. We know that, right? And distinct from the other nations, setting them apart for unique purpose. In Deuteronomy 7, Moses said, for you are a people of holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be his people for his treasured possession out of the peoples who are all on the face of the earth. When I read that verse, the words holy, chosen, and his treasured possession, it jumped out at me. And if you jump back a couple chapters in Leviticus 19:1-2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation, to the people of Israel, say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God, I am holy. That word holy jumps out again. God himself is the ultimate example of holiness, being set apart and distinct from all that's not holy. Back in the day, only the priests from one tribe, the Levites, could go into God's presence and intercede for the Israelites. And even then, one priest, one day per year, which is the Day of Atonement, everyone else had to stand back and just watch, like being a fan at a rock concert. I don't listen to rock, but y'all get the picture, right? But just saying, they had no access to the Father, that they couldn't pray, they couldn't go in and worship. They have to depend on the priest to intercede for them. But now, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have been given a VIP pass to the presence of God. In Hebrews 10:19-20, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And by his death, Jesus opened up a new living given away through the curtain in the most high holy place. So in the New Testament, the Greek word hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, y'all taking notes, also means holy and set apart. It's used to describe followers in Christ. As the followers in Christ were considered set apart for a special purpose, sanctified, being progressively made holy through faith in Christ. Amen. When I pray, I tend to ask God, I ask Jesus, Lord, please help me be the best reflection of you when people see me, to be a light. Use me today, Lord, to glorify your name. I ask him, please, to use me. And it's amazing how he always seems to pop up and I'm able to glorify him. No matter what the situation is, we're going to sprinkle Jesus on it. But anyway, I remember back when I was going to elementary school, I know some of y'all probably remember the school clothes and the play clothes. Well, I remember going to school and wearing my school clothes. Not no uniform, but, you know, the best hand-me-downs on the block. But when I got home from school, what did my mama say? Take off them school clothes and put on them play clothes, boy. And I'm like, I don't understand the difference, because both of them played out to me. But anyway, according to my mom, they were set apart, though. They were set apart. And if you think about it, if you go in people's house and you go in their bathroom, you'll see the towels, the decorated towels, hung up, and then you got your towels that you use for, you know, your everyday purpose. You know what I mean? But they're set apart, right? Moving to the kitchen. So in our house, we have, you know, the special dishes and the not-so-special dishes. So we use the not-so-special dishes, you know, the plastic spoons, forks, cups, and plates for everyday use. But when company came, oh, we pulling out the special dishes, silverware, glasses, the cup, the ceramic plates. Yeah, we did that. But guess what? To my mom, they were set apart. So Paul, he illustrates a great picture to his letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:20-21, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are made for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, that's the key word, pure, you'll be used for specific utensils for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. There's no wiggle room around that. He's calling us to be pure, holy, honorable for him to use. Our Father wants to use us, y'all. He really does. When I was first asked to preach on a Wednesday, I say teach. I tell you the truth, I really tensed up, you know what I'm saying? If I'm lying, I'm flying. I said, I'm not going to do it. Not me. They got the wrong guy. For real. I tell him, I'm going to talk to Pastor Jack, and I'm going to tell him I can't do it. And he'll tell you. But when he preached on that Sunday, the message that he preached about after church, I was like, man, I was going to tell you no, but after what you preach, I can't refuse. I gotta say yeah. And you know, with that being said, but God, family, he always has a way speaking to my heart and speaking through me to my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what I mean? And I can hear God telling me in my heart, you've been praying for spiritual growth. You've been praying for spiritual maturity. Are you going to let me stretch you some? Are you going to let me work on you so you can work, so I can work through you? Or are you going to back down? And here I go rationalizing. But remember, Father, I don't like public speaking. And this is how you want to stretch me, by preaching to the church on a Wednesday? So, you know, I just bowed my head and I said, okay, yes, sir. You got me. So may I be the best reflection of you, Jesus. Use me today to glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. So, family, we are chosen to be set apart, family. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That word holy again. A people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Let's break this down a little bit. So we, the church, followers in Christ, are a chosen race, not by a sense of race, skin color, ethnicity, country, or origin. We are a spiritual race, saying that in Jesus Christ, we all share the same spiritual Father, Abba. And that meaning, we are a holy nation, a specific group called out, set apart from all the other nations. Christians together, we are a royal priesthood. Remember in Israel, under the law, one tribe, the Levites, was given the task of serving as priests, performing the duties of mediators between God and the rest of the nation. But in and through Christ, the King, believers are all priests with direct access to the Father. We don't need no mediator. We can go straight to the Father. God has formed this holy nation. We are his people in a very special way. It's just not that we pledge our allegiance to him. It's that he has taken ownership of us. We belong to him. When we praise him, we fulfill our purpose. He has called us out the darkness of a meaningless life into his wonderful, marvelous light. Amen on that. When I was in the third grade, recess was the highlight of my day. I know. Recess is the highlight of everybody's day when they're third grade. But at recess, we used to play a game called kickball. I don't know if some of y'all remember that. That's back in the day, you know. But we played a game called kickball, and by popular demand, we'll choose team captains. And depending on your talents, you were chosen. If you kicked the ball far, you were good to go. If you can catch the ball, you were good to go. Or maybe you were crafty and cunning and stealing the bases, and then you were good to go. Or maybe if you're like me, just fast as all get out, you know. You was going to get picked regardless. So, there I go. I was good to go. But the point I'm trying to make is that it felt good to be chosen. and it made me feel special to be on that team. And that made me think, how more special is it to be handpicked and chosen by the Creator God Almighty to serve Him on His team, to be good to go for Him? Colossians 3:12, therefore, God's chosen people, holy, that word holy, and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You are set apart not because you're better, but because He loves you. Let's be clear. You're not special because you were chosen. You are not chosen because you're special. You're special because you're not chosen. You were chosen because you're not special. Excuse me. So at the beginning of the message, I talked about me being baptized, right? And how my life would look as a follower of Christ, opposed to my former worldly life. For me, it meant changing a whole lot of habits and a lot of sinful desires I had. And that's idolatry. I know Pastor Jack spoke on idolatry a few weeks back, and it hit me because in my worldly life, I had a passion for money and fast money at that. And I put myself around marijuana and materialistic stuff like shoes and clothes. All that had to go if I was going to want to change my life and be set apart. The people that I was hanging around that was toxic for me, I had to distance myself from them. You know, I had to change the way I talk. Not every word was a cuss word no more. The music I listened to, even the things I watched on TV, it had to change. Just my whole way of thinking switched up. Man, after this transformation started, my wife, she didn't even know who I was. I swear, she thought that I was a clone. She thought I was a clone or something. She said, this can't be the same man. I swear. It's funny. But what does Romans 12 say? Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, the way you learn to God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So Paul is telling us, to abandon the chase for pleasure, possessions, status, stop living like everyone else. Instead, he urges us to be transformed inside out. Sanctification. That was one of the most challenging things for me to do as a Christian, change my lifestyle, you know. Coming from a world where I was accustomed to and something that it was in my nature to be that way, just be in the world. Knowing this, you know, I had to change my lifestyle. I was coming to a spiritual crossroad where I knew that this would be a major roadblock with my walk with Christ if I didn't change. So guess what? I chose Christ over the world. In John 17:15-16, Jesus says, my prayer is not to take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. So I have to fully surrender my will to God to begin to understand His will for me. Not saying I'm perfect or nothing like that. I do have my flaws and my share of struggles I deal with on a regular basis. But I give it to God. And I contested that when my sister died over 3 years ago. In that season, my faith was tested, and my sobriety was tempted. And I even questioned God, you know, why you had to take my sister at a young age? I didn't understand it. I really didn't. Being around my family, you know, they're medicating their pain with marijuana and alcohol the same way I used to do once upon a time. But I thank God for setting me apart and letting me be a light in that situation to come out. Thank God He got me through it. James 1:2-3, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that your testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Amen. Before I close tonight, though, I know it's a little short, but before I close tonight, I want to give you five reasons why you are set apart. Reason number one, chosen in love. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies of him who called you out the darkness into his marvelous light. So you have been chosen by a loving and sovereign God, a royal priesthood set apart to serve God's purpose. You are God's special possession. You're not just one among billions. You are individually known, valued, and set apart by the Creator who breathed life into you. Reason number two, light in the darkness. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, just like as a lighthouse guides the ship safely through treacherous waters at night, your faith-driven actions and embodiment to Jesus' teaching illuminates the way for others. By embracing your role as a light in darkness, you offer a guiding hand to those who are searching for truth and purpose, which is Jesus. Reason number three, transform minds. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. As you read your Bible and apply the principles to your daily life, your patterns start to evolve. You begin to discern the difference between worldly thinking and godly wisdom. This transformation sets you apart as a critical thinker in a culture that's driven by instant gratification and momentary desires. Your ability to prioritize internal truths and conscious choices, it sets you apart. Reason number four, love in action. 1 John 3:18, it says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth. This truth sets you apart as a vessel of compassion, empathy, and sensible care in a world where genuine love is overlooked by empty words. Your act of love becomes a bridge that connects people to the essence of Jesus Christ's message. And reason number five, hope amidst trials. James 1:2-3 again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. For you know the testing of your faith has produced steadfastness. This perspective positions you as a beacon of hope and resilience in a world that challenges you all the time. And as you navigate challenges with grace, perseverance, you are set apart an example that inspires others to hold on to the hopes and the struggles they're struggling with. This is kind of off the record, man. This ain't even on my paper, but I know when I read the Gospels, Jesus is always making the parables about setting things apart, how he sets things apart. You know, like with the sheep and the goat. The sheep will be to the right, the goats will be to the left. You know, the weed and the wheat, you know, he's going to tie the weeds up and bundle and throw them in the fire, and the wheat is going to be taken with them. The bad fish and the good fish, you know. You hear it all the time when you're reading the Gospels, how Jesus setting things apart, you know. And don't quote me, I don't know what chapter of the Bible is, but Jesus says, by your words, you'll be acquitted, and by your words, you'll be condemned. And everyone's going to have to take account for that at the end of the days. Me, I want my Father to tell me at the end of my days, job well done, servant. I don't want him to look at me like, I don't know you, depart from me. That would be so heartbreaking. So I'd rather be